Okay, so now this is December 8th, part two of the lesson. Okay, so now we're on page 89. Okay, you're already familiar with the yena-tena construction. This is a way of saying that when somebody goes to a person or to a place, in English we would say, okay, the Brahmin approached the Blessed One. But in Pali, it said, yena bhagava, say, eso brahmano, yena bhagava tenu pasankami. That Brahmin, where the Blessed One was, there he approached. It sounds strange in English, but that's the way they say it in Pali. In this example, yena asamo tain upasankami. So where the ashram or hermitage was, there he approached. In ordinary English, we would say he went to the ashram.
Bhante, I had a question actually on this.
Yeah.
So here, asamo, and perhaps that would be the actual subject of this topic, of this sentence as well. So they both appear in nominative. Is that right?
Yeah. That's because asamo is the subject of the relative clause, yena asamo. It's almost as if it should be yena asamo hoti tain upasankami. Where the ashram was, there he went.
So the real main subject is not asamo.
Yeah.
He.
Yeah, in a proper sentence, it would mention the subject. So let us say that monk, so bhikkhu, yena asamo tain upasankami. So that monk approached the ashram. Well, literally, where the ashram was, there that monk approached. But you'll always see this form, you just get used to it, and then it becomes automatic. Okay, then we come to the singular and plural forms of a verb, which is sort of passed into Pali from old Vedic Sanskrit. It's one of the rare, there's a kind of formation called the perfect, which is almost entirely dropped out of Pali, but just one form, one of the few forms that remain in Pali is the verb aha, which is usually treated like a past tense, meaning said. Aha is the singular, ahu is the plural. And then the plural sometimes also appears as ahangsu. So you just have to recognize this and know it means someone said, or they said. Okay, then here we have the point that I already explained at the beginning of today's lesson, the way constructions involving numbers in the hundreds are formed. So the word hundred is treated as a neuter noun, and then the multiple of 100 is expressed by putting the number of hundreds before the main noun, and then the word for 100 becomes a suffix, which is compounded with the main noun. So we have 300 youths, teeny, manava, satani. It's a little bit like in English we would say somebody goes to the store and buys 3 dozen eggs. You know, so instead of saying 36 eggs, one buys 3 dozen of eggs. So this is like 300s of youths. And the same thing goes with 100, with 1,000, and 100,000. Say if there are 300,000 youths, would be, let's say 300,000 aeons, would be teeny kappa satta sahasani. The word kappa, or Sanskrit kalpa, means a cosmic aeon. So teeny, 3, kappa, satta sahasani. So 300,000s of aeons. Okay, the words, now we come to section 13. The words for other or another in Pali, para and anya. Usually para is used for a different person, and anya is used for, it could also refer to persons, but something different from the one that's at hand. And so these two words are declined, not like regular nouns, but they're declined like pronouns. And so you can look at the model of Sabbe, chapter 4, section 8. Which they don't give. Yeah, but it doesn't give it. It just says, takes the plural endings of a pronoun like sa or tongue. So you have to go actually to chapter 2, section 2.2. So this is following the model on page 19 and 20. So, for example, another person as a singular would be paro. Then it would be parang, parasa, parena, paramha, paramhi. But when it comes to the plural, it would be pare, paresang, parehi, paresu. That's for the masculine. And then neuter, feminine, would follow the same model. May I just take your pen for a moment? So just where it says, like sabbe, I would actually cross that out and say, like so. On pages 19 and 20. Okay. Okay, then we have section 14. These are, actually, they shouldn't have put these together because they function grammatically quite differently. Okay, sudding is an indeclinable form, which means something like together with, and it always goes with the instrumental. So, for example, I went together with him into the city. So, ahang tena sadding nagarang agaching. We had this in Lily De Silva's book, The Pali Primer. Ahang tena sadding nagaring agaching. So, I is the subject, tena is the instrumental singular, with him, and then sadding is together with, then nagarang is the object, in this case the destination, the city, and then agaching, I went. So, I, together with him to the city, went. Let's see what example they give. Okay, so the Buddha, let's say Bhagava, Bhikkhu Sanghena Sadding, Charikang, let's see, charity. Bhagava, Bhikkhu Sanghena, Sadding, Kosalesu, Chari Kung, a cherry, let's say. Okay. Okay, so Bhagava, the Blessed One. Okay, Bhikkhu Sanghena, with, this is instrumental, with the order of monks, sadding, together with, so together with the order of monks, Kosalesu, among the Kosalins, Charikang is a tour, and Achari is walk. So the Blessed One walked on tour among the Kosalins together with the order of monks.
Bhante, is the sadding there, is it optional? I mean, would the sentence work without it? By just having the instrument?
I think normally they would use it to show that it has the sense of together with rather than the instrumental as through or by means of.
Okay.
It's a little bit like in Chinese, we say the Wo gan peng you yi qie qi ou zhou shi lu xing, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I, together with my friend, went to Europe for a trip, a journey. Wo gan peng you yi qie qi Ojo Cholu Shing. Niyo. What is
that?
Lushing. Lushing, yeah. Chilu Shing.
So what the Shari Tang, it's using a accusative instead of locative because you say unto or so.
Yeah, but it's something like walk the tour.
Oh.
That's the way it's expressed.
Walk the tour.
Yeah, it's an accusative of the verb meaning to walk. It's just a way of expression. So sadding, this is why I say the sadding and parivuto shouldn't have been joined like this, because parivuto is a past participle which will be joined to another noun, or sometimes it stands by itself, and it's used with the instrumental to mean like accompanied by. But parivuto is, because it's a past participle, it is declined according to the noun that it qualifies. So in the example we have here, it should read brahmano. It should read not chatari, but chatuhi. Should change chatari to chatuhi. Or I'm sorry, I think it's the short A. I'm sorry. Chatuhi. Manavaka satehi parivuto. So here we have the Brahman. Okay, Brahman is nominative singular. Then parivuto means was accompanied. And it's a past participle which has to agree with Brahman. So was accompanied. And then it takes with the instrumental by four. 100 youths. So the Brahman was accompanied by 400 youths. Any questions so far? Don't say everything. Let us stop here and continue with the residue of this lesson next time. Then I'll go through the grammar. I don't know if some of you came in late. What we're going to do next week, do the review of the remainder of the grammar here, and reviewing the grammar of 7 and 8. And then we start the testing in January. December 22nd, there's the Amitabha retreat, so no class. And then we'll take a little... for some well-deserved vacation... between Christmas and New Year, I think that's 29th. And then starting in 2015, we begin with the bright note of exam time over 3 weeks.
You have two to bring in between.
Planning like a first Monday?
The first Monday in January.
It's going to be the test.
Part one of the test.
Is that the second? What date is that? What's the year?
The fifth. Monday the fifth.
Well, let's see. First.
There's no class the 29th.
Yeah, it's January 5th. So you have plenty of time to start reviewing.
And then you're just taking off.
So then we just have no classes for the...
Which chapter?
We review.
We'll have a class on the 15th.
6, 7, and 8.
And we start with 6.
Of January,
yeah, we start with 6.
The beginning of it.
The beginning of reading text. It's January 5th.
Yeah. So we do reviews on the 5th, 6th, I'm sorry, the 5th, 12th, and 19th.
So we don't have our big test on the 5th.
No, those are the tests.
Oh, that is the test.
Yeah. What I mean is that it's not a... It's not
a day I'm getting a plane ticket.
It's not a written test, but I go through and call on people to translate sentences and to explain them grammatically.
Okay, is there any easy way to...
No easy way.
Is there any easy way to match the further reading with the recording? Because as I'm trying to do the review, sometimes I have a hard time knowing which further reading is in what. So is there any...
So you could listen to the...
Yeah, exactly. Is there an easy way to
generally, it would be the last two. Usually, each lesson takes several recordings.
Okay.
It will usually be the last two recordings.
Okay.
You just have to sort of skim through and compare.
Okay.
Because what I do is the first couple of lessons, I do a bit of the grammar, part of the grammar, and then we do the initial readings. Then when we finish the grammar and the initial readings, then I take the further readings. So certainly the last recording will have further readings, and probably the last two.
Yes, we do.
Thank you, Bhante.
We're going to do grammar chapter 7. Today is the 8th. Next class is the 15th, we have class, and the next two we skip, and then the 5th is when we're back.
Okay, so let us end with...